Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
So, in this episode, live at sea, in international water, so we do what we want. Drew's the guest, and we're going to officiate over a wedding, and also we'll play some Rotten Tomatoes. My prediction is we'll have to explain to Drew way more than once how that game is played. That's my prediction. We'll see if it holds true. First, Castrol. Want a chance to win a trip to go to Vegas and meet me? Head to your local AutoZone and be entered automatically with the purchase of Castrol. Pick up 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Motor Oil. Get the SDP Extended Life Oil Filter as well. And that's all just $33.99. Use your AutoZone rewards card and automatically be entered to win. 3-day, 2-night, Vegas, me in November. Say hi, right, Dawson?
No purchase necessary to enter to win. Open to residents of the 50 United States, District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. Must be 18 years or older. Sweepstakes valid September 24th through October 21st. Void or prohibited. See your local AutoZone store for more details.
Welcome back to the Toolbox. Mark Dyson in here for Mike Dawson, playing the super hits of the 70s. Light rock with less talk. CSN on the Toolbox.
She was making for the trains on the outside. And the downhill run to one of the big. Off the wheel, down this heavy line of my case. You've got 8 feet through the waterline. Wants to make you wait.
Live aboard the Navigator of the Seas on the 4th annual Carolla Cruise, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dr. Drew. Plus, we'll play a round of the Rotten Tomatoes game and officiate the wedding of Judy Snow and Benny Sesto with flower girl Gina Grad and ring bearer Bald Brian. And now, nautical by nature, Adam Carolla!
Yeah, get it on. Thank you. Got to get on. Oh, what? Choice but to get on. Mandy, get on. How's the mic sound? Okay. Yeah! All right. Good day, and thanks for coming out, and thanks for cruising with us. That, of course, is Gina Grad over there. And Bald Brian. And Dr. Drew, everyone. Exquisite man of passion. Dr. Drew, we're going to get into the Dunning-Kruger effect
at some point.
Because somebody sent me a video. It'll be good for nobody in this room, but everyone outside of this room. But I'll tell you that in a second. I got a massage tonight. Yeah, that was good. I actually fell asleep 3 times during the course of the massage. So that's
three times four.
How good.
Hey, so you might have gotten a rub and tug. You just don't remember.
I don't remember. I'm going to have to check the carpet square underneath the table to find out just exactly what went on. I got my one massage a year. I don't know. You guys get massages, Gina? You have to get massages. I was going to say not because you're back, but because you're front. Your front affects your back,
Thank
right?
you for understanding. It's a real lumbar conundrum.
Right.
So, but you and I have a wife-to-husband ratio on massages. It's about 300 to 1.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah. Yeah, wives get the massage because it's like, oh, God, it's Wednesday. Oh, the humanity of it. Whereas guys, like, I kind of feel like we have to earn it. We're getting a little feedback here. You want to come forward? Yeah, come forward, Drew. Well, let's see. Test, one, two. There you go.
Test. Better. Here we go.
I get that, like, when I sign up for the massage, I always have to act like there's a reason why I need the massage. It can never be because, like, I go down. I go, like, well, the octagon's closed, so I guess I'll go for one of those massages.
You can't just say, I'm taking a knee down.
No, I think I screwed up my shoulder. I punched this Antifa guy at the park, and I think I may have thrown my back out. Anyway.
It's defending the honor of a woman, a masseuse, actually.
Right. And then they do this one. Well, I don't know if you guys are meet like me on this one, but they go, like, you have to pretend like you don't care. They go, would you like a male or female masseuse? And you go, hey, man, I'm from L.A. I'm not uptight. I don't care. Whatever, male, female. It's 2019. Just as long as they have huge areolas and a lot of fallopian tubing, I'm fine. Whatever, male, female, female, male, female, Asian, female, male, female, female, Asian, 110-pound Asian female. Yes, and I'm in. Not tight.
Just two X chromosomes, and I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. Just a flyweight Asian female doesn't talk a lot. Just, yeah, send her in. I don't. No one's judging. How's the feedback there, Drew?
Better.
Let's see, yeah. I don't know if I should step back or step forward. Step
actually,
back.
I think you back me forward. I think it helps.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, you.
I think.
That makes me a top. Just saying.
For that, let me see.
I also I swung by the Starbucks, and I guess pumpkin season is on. Like, it's on. It's so on. Let me go forward, Drew, see what happens. Yeah, so on with the pumpkin. And I start thinking about, like, we really have a great love of pumpkin, but really what we love is sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you take pumpkin in its purest pulp form, it tastes like fucking mulch, right?
A pumpkin latte would be nasty. A pumpkin spice latte. Now you're talking.
But no, a pumpkin latte minus sugar.
It's a pumpkin spice latte.
What I'm saying is you get rid of the sugar.
Yeah, we don't, it's nasty.
We don't like pumpkin anymore.
Right.
Correct.
And then I started thinking about all the stuff we love, but we don't really love it. Like, oh, I love zucchini bread. No, you don't.
No, you
love a ton of sugar in a loaf.
You like cake.
You like cake.
Carrot cake.
Right. All the shit we like is really lemon bars. Like, all the lemon, the zucchini, the pumpkin, it's all just tons of sugar added to it. That's what we like. No one ever says, I want a watermelon latte. That does have a ton of sugar in it, but we don't even like it. So we just like pretending like we like pumpkin. If anyone ever had pumpkin minus the sugar, you'd never stop yakking. So let's knock off the charade and just say we like goddamn sugar when we go to the Starbucks and not the taste of pumpkin or the taste of zucchini or the taste of... I wrote down a couple here. I was trying to figure out this stuff here. Let's see.
Remember back in the day, carrot cake? You were being good if you had carrot cake.
Yeah, all that is a bunch of sugar. Even vanilla and chocolate. Vanilla's just a goddamn bean. That's nothing.
Right?
Chocolate's just a bean or berry or something like that. All we do is like sugar, but we like to mask it under an exotic name.
You know what, one of the things
name,
that struck me upon arriving at this said cruise, how many Vinny advocates we got in here? So a lot of non-sugar consumers in here, non-cake consumers.
A lot of MSNG up in this bitch.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of success with that.
Yes, although I've broken the Vinny diet. Brian is sticking with it.
Holding tight.
Gina, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I had a little rice with the sushi because we had a little foretop with Christy and Brian.
No.
How are you doing?
Good.
No.
I love it.
You're sticking with it?
I love it.
I don't like it.
What?
No, I mean, you were on a cruise. You're supposed to be carving it up.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be Bacchanalian. Dionysian.
If there's a time to relapse on carbs, this is the week.
Yeah, this is
go
it.
Carb.
Yeah. You're an international carb water. You do what you want. Nobody says anything.
Fair enough. I'll grant you that. But I'm in it.
Yeah, the Carberian Sea or whatever it is. you went to the White House?
I did.
What was that?
You know, I've been shooting my mouth off about the homeless thing.
Sure.
Really?
Yeah, have you?
And I get up every day. I'm like, it reminds me of back when I first started doing Loveline in 1983. My little notion, well, my little thing that got me on the radio was this idea that there was this thing happening and no one was talking to young people about it. And we were just starting to call this thing AIDS.
Right.
And I was taking care of tons of AIDS patients.
How
and
dare you?
Got an AIDS fan.
AIDS, yeah. Very afraid.
Just woo AIDS.
Back then it was called GRIDS, right?
We just started calling it AIDS, and there was this weird belief that you don't talk to young people about it. If you talk to them about it, it'll make them want to have sex and they'll get AIDS. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was 24 years old. I'm going to talk about it and just educate them. I was one of the first people in media to talk about condom use because I thought this was just so important. I feel the same way about the homeless thing now. Like, this is like...
They got to put condoms on,
They got to put condoms on.
They're breeding.
Yeah, you got it.
They're breeding faster. We can keep up with them.
It's just going to make them want to have sex.
Yeah. You got to put the condoms on the rats. Keep the plague.
Same exact thing.
In order. So,
so the reason I got into it, I don't know if you know this story, but my home became overrun by rats. I mean, we could not get rid of them. And my son had typhus a few years ago, and I thought, oh, my God, we're going to have a typhus epidemic. I've seen enough typhus. I've practiced in Sangreville Valley for 30 years, and we have typhus. And I thought, God, with all these rats, we're going to have a big typhus outbreak. I didn't realize it was coming from the homeless. Then when I started studying, I'm like, oh, shit, this is a mess. And then I'm in it.
When do we start crop dusting the homeless? Like, when do we get into my plan, we just get the bi-wing plane dropping down low at midnight, opening up the DDT and just let nature take its course?
Yes,
you
nature.
Know, eradicate the problem.
That's not having nature take its course. That's
well,
the exact opposite.
Dow Chemical and nature taking its course. So
natural poison, Brian.
Yeah, natural.
Typhus is what? It's
typhus is a flea-borne rickettsial disease endemic in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started thinking, well, Jesus, if they do nothing to stop the typhus in the rat population.
Wait, what's rickettsial?
Rickettsia is a little bacteria.
I thought that was Gretel's brother.
He lived in a shoe.
Yes.
Gretel and rickettsia?
Yeah, they had to get to the witch's house or something.
Trail of breadcrumbs.
Could have been the witch's name. But... where was I? The rickettsial. Rickettsial is related to Rocky Mountain spotted fever. That one. So this is a relative of that. And I thought Yersinia is also in the rats and the raccoons and stuff in Southern California. So it's inevitable.
Yersinia won the year I did Celebrity Apprentice. So everyone says Trump's a racist. Why did he let the brother win?
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Yersinia.
Okay.
Y-E-R.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so now the fleas are on the rats.
Fleas are on the rats. Rats get on your animals. The fleas defecate on your animals. You wipe your animals, and you get the disease. That's
okay.
How it happens.
All right. And your son got this.
Son got it. He was miserable. Many of my patients have had it, and some have nearly died. It's a bad illness.
Jesus Christ. Maybe we should never go to port. Maybe we should...
Keep going into the sunset. Sail on into the horizon.
Circle Water Slide Island until we run out of fuel, and then after that, I'll become the de facto captain. We'll live under my authoritarian rule, although I'm very benevolent. We'll be fishing off the side, defecating off the railing. Full Lord of the Flies, like middle-aged Lord of the Flies scenario. We ration the buffet. We see how far we can get on that. And then after that, we just live off the sea like our forefathers did.
I like the idea of a middle-aged Lord of the Flies. Lord of the Flies, the sequel.
That's right. That's right. So you went to... So who'd you speak in front of?
So because I forget how it all happened to me, but I was summoned to the White House and spoke to the Domestic Policy Committee, right just under the president leaders. and they were all ears, and they are smart, and they are absorbing everything, and they're thinking about some good alternative. They're going to do something.
Oh boy! Yeah. If I know politicians, when I hear we're going to do something, done and done.
So you're clocked by it.
No. I'm being political. I can't really speak to what they're going to do, but.
Oh, you know something.
I know something, and it's.
Is it my crop duster idea?
It's a relative of it.
Adam.
Ooh.
Drones.
Yeah. How about my holiday fogger idea, where we just pull the pin on the foggers
and run?
Yeah. Remember those things where you used to be able to poison your own house? Do you guys remember the holiday foggers?
Awesome.
Holiday foggers.
Very distinct smell.
Holiday was like the company that made these foggers, and it's like, you could hire professionals to tint off your house, or you could just pull the ripcord on one of these babies and roll it into the kitchen, like the SWAT team was trying to get the SLA out of the house. Oh, and put the pets away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you would literally fog your own house.
I remember those? You'd set it in the middle and run.
Yeah. Between the fogging and the smoking, it's amazing anyone ever got out alive in that 70s.
Speaking of 70s, we need to share your Love Boat observations with the audience.
I was talking about it on the last podcast that we aired, and then I spoke to you about it in person at the dinner table last night. But we can review it because you're here now.
Yes.
I was explaining on the podcast that we did when we were landlocked a few days ago that the Love Boat had many lovable characters, and one of them was the ship's doctor.
We had a little incident next to our table.
Somebody had a seizure next to our table.
And so that's what's going to talk about the ship's physician.
Wow. Right.
Yeah, Drew leapt to his feet. I was this close to putting my drink down. It really...
serious.
It almost ruined my vacation.
Got serious.
Yeah,
that's
got
how
serious.
We really care.
Yeah.
I believe you said you missed the whole thing.
I got the general gist of what was going on. Seizure.
Right.
Guy shaking like a rattle can, you know, behind you.
Seizure, you thought there was like somebody... There was like a drug bust, and they were seizing.
Well, it has the word C in it, and I was pretty drunk, so, you know, you can see where it would be taken out of context. But I was explaining...
So we immediately got into the 70s, which we hate.
But I was explaining to Drew that he is sort of the ship's doctor. I mean, there is a ship's doctor,
yes,
right?
Of course.
But I think you could pull rank on him.
No.
You're a TV doctor.
Yeah, he certainly has more TV credits.
There are several medical providers here in our audience that are quite...
Oh, there are?
Yeah.
All right.
They will appreciate this story you're about to tell, too.
Well, I always said this about Drew, because I got tired of everyone claiming to be a doctor, with the Dr. Ruth's and the Dr. Phil's and the Dr. J's and the...
Dr. Laura.
Dr. Laura's and the Dr. Everybody's. And I thought, it kind of sucks if you're Dr. Drew, because you're an actual medical physician, and yet everyone else sort of claims this mantle of doctor. And so I try to define it, because it's kind of hard to define. Someone's a doctor of this or doctor of that. I said, the only real doctor we should recognize is what I would call the airplane doctor, which is if you're on a flight and you're 35,000 feet in the air and you're above the Atlantic Ocean and somebody has a cardiac arrest and is rolling around in the aisle and somebody yells, "Is there a doctor on this plane?" We don't want Dr. Phil going, "Hey, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining."
What you gotta do is stop seizing.
You gotta stop your seizures. You're doing a little too much leisure and a little too much seizure. Now somebody shut this curtain, I need another highball. We don't need that guy. We need Dr. Drew.
Thank you.
That's right.
And some of our audience too.
And we have audience members. So here's how it works. I don't know how many actual physicians are here.
I've met at least three.
All right. So if the shit goes down, we'll work. And I don't need to see your credentials. We'll just work from most drunk to least drunk in terms of who. We'll start with the drunkest. Let them have
a shot.
Because if that guy can handle it, it's no big whoop. You know what I mean? Then we'll get close to sober by the end.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Drew, you. So what we were talking about is the Love Boat and how the doctor, Adam Bricker, Bernie Coppell was the actor's name, still alive, 88 years young or
right,
something.
Right.
His entire storyline was just wanting to bang passengers, which was fine for primetime in 1977.
It was intoxicated sexual assaults.
Yeah.
Like, that was the storyline for the doctor.
Yeah, Isaac, juice him up and send him down to my office. I'll bang him on a gurney.
And he's always opening with, do you need something? Can I get you something? Can I prescribe something for you?
Yeah.
Can I put it in your drink?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, how about some rufamine? I mean, Dramamine. Sorry.
Every time they call for him, he's
what if we took roofies and mixed them with Dramamine for people? For, you know, date rapists at sea.
Who might get nauseous.
Too soon.
If only you've been a writer of the Love Boat.
So, Drew, today, Brian spent the day going down the world's tallest slide.
Yeah, anyone else do that? Yeah. That was a blast, man. And guess who we saw, by the way, as we're ascending the stairs? Christy and I are ascending the stairs. Mike Dawson is like, my fifth ride.
Oh, Mike Dawson.
Is Mike Dawson still alive?
I saw him on stage.
I got to tell you, you know, whenever there's the island, it starts, there's like an ambition scale. It starts with, they got Sea-Doos and jet skis. You can go and circumnavigate the island. We'll leave it awake behind you. And you go, 6 a.m., we're on. Then at some point, it digresses into, they got those kayaks, right? Yeah. They got the kayaks. We'll do a little kayaking. And then at some point, it gets in, well, we don't need it. We'll snorkel. Yeah. We'll just snorkel. And then at some point, some drunk dude in a cabana goes, you want a cold one? And you go, yeah, I'm coming. Yeah, yeah. Get some fish tacos. And then you just plant your fat ass in a cabana for 4 hours and sit there.
Think about it.
No. I watched people do all the shit I said I was going to do earlier in the week. I didn't move. Drew, it's still, drunk walking is exercise, right?
Yes, it's work.
Stumbling is a calorie burner.
It's actually harder.
Yeah, I got a flip-flop full of sand. I'm dragging one foot. I feel like I'm really getting a workout walking places drunk.
Oh, but absolutely.
You earned those 13 beers.
Yeah, and not to mention the extra calorie burn of walking to the wrong side of the goddamn ship looking for the Starbucks and then going, the fuck, what number was my room again? And then having to walk back to the other end of the... I mean, I'm really getting a workout being drunk on this ship, Drew.
Me too.
I think you'd appreciate that. I'd appreciate a little more praise next time.
I got you.
Having to hang on to the railing with two hands, going up and down the stairs.
That works your core.
One of those obliques.
Yeah, working. So you rode the world's tallest water slide.
North America's tallest water slide.
North America.
Let's not cheat China out of their tall water slide. Or whoever has one.
Yeah. By the way, do they need China? Does China need water slides? I feel like, you know, folks at the Nike factory just jump off the building for a thrill.
How boring
is a water slide compared to a free fall from a 14-story building?
And now they have those super fun nets because people won't stop jumping.
I do... I've always said to Drew, and I've always said to everybody, when L.A. started putting barbed wire around the freeway signs, like, that was a tell. Like, that meant we were circling the toilet and ready to head into the commode, right?
It caught my attention. We switched it from barbed wire to razor wire.
Right, but...
Razor wire.
But to give the mayor's due in Los Angeles... China's putting nets up around their buildings because people are throwing themselves off the roof.
Wow.
That's a bad sign.
Indeed. It's a look in the mirror moment.
Yeah. 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 So we're still better in China, everybody. Put your hands together. Thank you. So you did the water slide.
You know what Dawson did twice, and I'm a medium puss, but I didn't have the stones for this. They have a water slide where you stand at like an angle, and the floor drops out from under you, and you fall straight down.
Yeah,
that's not for me. I don't need that shit in my life. I cheated death once.
Yeah, well,
you still cheated.
I did that one twice.
You called Dawson brave, but to be fair, he thought he was in his bathroom.
Right.
He's like, this tub is fucked up. So I don't know if it's volitional, and Gina, you did what?
Yeah, we did the water park today. I think Dawson is unkillable. Because we did the slingshot like four times, my fiance Andy and I, and then we're like, Dawson, you got to get in the raft with us. So the only thing they say is, for the love of God, hold on to the ropes. You got to hold on to the ropes. Trust us. Dawson did the entire ride backwards like this. Woo! When we are about to get seriously slingshotted up a wall, 400 foot, I mean, just huge wall, Dawson's still going, woo! I reached to grab his shirt, and the second before he bounced out of that raft, he put his arms back down.
All right. Wow. This close to putting his cigarette down. This close. Wow. Drew, what'd you do?
Sat our fat asses down the beach.
Just went to the beach and just plopped around?
And then came back on the boat. It was empty. Hung out of the pool.
Nice.
Yeah. Mike and I were ambitious about the jet ski, and then we found out they wanted money or something. And we're like, huh?
Yeah.
And they're like, and then there's a half-hour training course, and we're like, we're going to the cabana.
We got a little inspired. We're going to find you and hit the jet skis. And then we heard about that half hour and said, Adam will never do that. There's no way.
Well, you know me. I hate training and safety. It's all the things I stand against. All right, so Drew went to the White House, but you can't discuss all the particulars.
Quite an experience. I mean, sitting in the you know, next to the Oval Office, in these little offices where people are running our country, it's quite an impressive experience. Sort of took my breath away.
Yeah,
I was so impressed how much they listened. There's a group that really listens, and there was an economics guy in there with me, and he was challenging everything because he wanted to know from a policy standpoint how they could make a difference. And finally, I just looked at the guy and go, if you put your brain and my brain together, we'd have the truth. We'd have reality.
Nice.
Right. He looked at things a certain way, I looked at things a certain way. I just felt very productive, like I was contributing something.
What I'm hearing, very humbly, is Dr. Drew is going to end typhus.
Right.
And stop us from going into a bubonic plague.
I'm going to do that for sure, but I'm going to take sick people off the street, what I'm absolutely crazed about.
Yeah.
I mean, just a quick second. I mean, we talk about it's a third world situation on the streets of Los Angeles. That is an insult to third world nations. This is a medieval problem. These are sick people, mentally ill.
Well, hold on. Not fun, like tournament, like medieval time.
not a restaurant.
That's a good time. Dark ages.
Yeah, dark age times. Mm. And that's when people were allowed to languish ill on the streets of cities and get sick.
All right. So 20 years ago, you cured AIDS.
Yeah.
And now you're going to cure homelessness.
So invented safe sex. That's
right.
Now we'll see where this goes. Hopefully somewhere productive.
So. All right. So that we covered what we did on the boat. Brian, you did a little gambling probably last night.
I thought you were about to say gambling problem, and I was going to say yes.
Yes. You did some gambling.
Yeah, I did some craps. A few of the listeners were there with me. Won a couple hundred bucks. So
good.
Give it right back to them tonight. Adam, before we dive into the meat of the show, can I do one piece of business real quick?
Yes,
you right. Guys may remember my horrifying odyssey of getting back home from Kentucky. There was a very lovely young woman who drove me from Lexington to Kentucky. She is here tonight. Tony is right there. Tony, I can't think of a real proper way to thank you. You really saved my ass and made a big difference in my daughter's birthday. So I got you a gift. This is a one-of-a-kind Adam Carolla Show jacket that Joe Coy's going on about, signed by the entire crew. This is for you.
Not the crew of the vessel.
Yeah.
If it was signed by the entire crew of the vessel, it'd be 7,000 Sudanese autographs on the back of that bad boy. I don't know what anyone's nationality is on this ship.
Leadfoot Tony,
all I
give
know
it up.
Is they don't understand what I'm asking for. That's all I know.
One other little piece of business, too. I realized sitting in this chair, last time I sat with you guys on a stage with this lights in my eyes, Eric Stone Street was sitting right there. Mm-hmm. And I made a famous statement about Rodeo Drive or Rodeo Drive.
Rodeo Drive.
Yes. From Modern Family.
Yes.
And he did what? The Wildest. Oh.
Never lived that.
It was a mispronunciation.
Never
lived
that down.
Rodeo.
Whenever I see him, he likes.
Yeah.
All right. You're
talking about like going to a rodeo.
That's what I said. Yes, I did.
All right. I was having a conversation a few days ago about how wildly incompetent almost everyone is and how they don't know it. And how even when I present them with evidence of their wild incompetence, they reject it wholesale. And I find it weird, like if someone just kept saying to me, you're late, or kept saying to me, you're bad at your job or whatever, like eventually some might permeate my thick skin.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this to a friend of mine in the car, and then I got out of the car, and I got in my office, and I turned the computer on, and someone had sent me a tweet called the Dunning-Kruger effect, right?
Correct.
And it's something that Drew had always discussed with me.
Yes.
But it was one of these videos. It was like a 10-minute quickie video, you know, with the dry erase board where everyone's breaking it down because we can't ingest more than 9.5 minutes of knowledge at a time.
Yeah, Drew, you like this. That was discussed a lot in the Flat Earth documentary that I saw.
Ugh.
People think they know a little bit, and they think they know a lot.
Yeah, so Drew had always talked to me about this effect.
Yes, so fundamentally think of it as the phenomenon that has someone stand up in the American Idol tryouts, sound like hell, and then be shocked when they're confronted with that. They like, I sound, it was great, what are you talking about? They literally do not see themselves, literally.
Right, so I told Max Zapata to whack it up in about 3 minutes. And we're not going to play the video, but we'll play the audio for it. It just has sort of a beginning and a middle and an end. And I thought Drew might be, you'd be served to listen to Drew commenting on this.
So
we'll do it together. So it's just a sort of a beginning, middle, end. It's about 3 minutes long, and we'll listen to it. Go ahead, Max Pata.
Socrates said the only true wisdom is knowing when you know nothing. But that's not actually easy for humans to do because our brains want us to think that we are awesome. In 1995, MacArthur Wheeler walked into a bank in Pittsburgh ready to rob it. He didn't wear a mask, he didn't have like a fake mustache, he was just there robbing a bank in full view of everyone. He even smiled at the security cameras before leaving and going to a second bank to rob that one too. Later that night, the security footage allowed the police to pick him up and take him off to jail, which shocked him. He was shook. I wore the juice, he famously exclaimed. Wheeler believed that rubbing lemon juice on his skin would render him invisible to videotape cameras. This is a cognitive bias at work, and it inspired two psychologists to create some experiments to understand it better. Cognitive biases are everywhere. Have you ever met someone who has one, like perhaps during a group project at school or during an argument with a stubborn uncle or when you had to toil alongside that coworker? You know the one I'm talking about. Somebody who believed they knew things, but really they didn't. Believing you know something that you don't is called the Dunning-Kruger effect. It's named for the two psychologists who, upon hearing about Wheeler's bank robberies, formulated a set of experiments to determine if Wheeler's juice beliefs were due to some kind of cognitive bias.
All right, pause it there, Max Zapata. So we thought the computer was going to fix all this, right?
Right.
Because we thought that the computer was going to fix this because back in the day, I remember, you know, you'd have these arguments. You'd go, oh, Steve Yeager, catcher for the Dodgers. That guy never hit more than 16 home runs a year. And then your buddy'd go, oh, he had a year where he hit over 20. And you'd go, no, he didn't. And then you'd argue about it. And then the computer would solve it. Like, you used to have to get the almanac out, like the baseball almanac out. But now someone pulls out their phone, and we see if Steve Yeager hit more than 16 home runs in one season or not. I'm bringing this up specifically because I literally had an argument with Kimmel about this 20 years ago, and I bet him the richest, whitest guy reward ever. I said, if I lose, I'll buy you a set of golf clubs. I don't think he even golfed. And I lost. Fucking Steve Yeager. I thought that guy had some pop in his bat. He didn't. He just looked like Huey Lewis with cool glasses. But either way, I ended up losing, but I thought the computer was going to solve this.
Right.
As it turns out, we've dug deeper.
It's made it worse.
It's almost like our brains are fighting the computer.
Right.
Like,
right.
We are getting deeper because of the computer.
Right. So we'll find ways to justify our cognitive bias. And you can do that. There's always ways to find ways to support through, because reality is a sort of a fluid perspective.
All right, but what is this? What version of that is this? Because I live this every day. Not myself, but I live with humans who suffer from this. Like when I say to my daughter, she'll leave her ceiling fan on high and then she'll go to school. And then I'll come in and see the ceiling fan's been running all day, and then she'll come home from school and I'll say, Natalia, you left your ceiling fan on all day. And she goes,
so stop. Stop. So the first move is going to be, not me, or I did it, but I did it because of some external force. Therefore, it's not my fault.
All right, you be me, and I'll be Natalia.
So Natalia, the fan's been on high.
Hold on, the Grubhub guy's here. What's an acceptable tip on two Taco Bell bean burritos and an enchiruro? Anyway, here's 20. Keep the 20. Sorry. What's that?
They still have enchiritos?
I don't know. I had them invent me one. It's an extra couple bucks, but you know.
So the fan's been on high all day.
Yeah.
I told you at least a dozen times, shut the door, turn the fan off.
Hold on. Sonny, you know everyone thinks you're stupid, right? Oh, you're lucky you're wearing earbuds, bro, or you'd be hearing some harsh critiquing of your scholastic ability. Sorry, what was that, Dad?
The socks, the dog having a seizure. I've told you about that a thousand times.
Yeah.
And I've told you about this fan.
Oh, the fan.
Shut the door.
Yeah.
Turn the fan on.
I know, but it gets so hot in there. That's her comebacker. It's so hot. Go ahead, Dad.
I understand it gets hot. This is an air-conditioned house. I'm asking you. Turn the fan off.
I know, but it's so hot.
I don't care the reason. What do you want me to think of you? I've asked you 100 times, and still you don't do it. What do you imagine I think?
Ooh, I am this close to an eating disorder and having sex with someone outside of my race. Possibly at the same time. Is that what you want, old man?
And scene.
Thank you. Now. Mission not accomplished. Now, by the way, what I said wasn't racist because it could have been one of the good races. We don't know. So that's not racist. See, Drew?
He's not going to say which ones, and he doesn't have to.
That's right. Right. But we can all close our eyes. Actually, just close your eyes. That'll be it.
He means French. He means French, not Italian French.
All right. We're going to marry somebody up here. Or actually, two people. I think we're going for two people this time. I presided over the last one.
Yes.
And it went swimmingly because the couple that we married last year...
Still together. Still here.
They stayed. They never got off the boat. Now, before you applaud, they're not here because they've been married a year. They couldn't pay their bar tab last year and could not get off. They've been working on the boat for an entire year, bussing dishes.
They've been barbacking for a year.
They've been barbacking for an entire year. Wait, where's our couple from last year? Sorry. Yes.
Oh, right here. Right down the middle.
Yes.
And there's another layer to this story.
You
may not know. Apparently, Adam, in preparation for that wedding, put together one of the buck slips. I think it was an Adam Carolla buck slip. And you tossed it at the end. They found it.
Uh-huh.
Right?
So that's like the bouquet?
Yes.
Oh.
And gave it back to them for their scrapbook.
And guess who's getting married now?
Yeah. Now you caught the bouquet. And you guys are getting married now. So I guess we should get you a microphone. Dawson has one. And we'll put it somewhere. Wherever they're going to stand. Are these feedback related? Let me get your... Why don't we pull it off?
Dawson, what is that belt for?
Dawson has a belt. So we have Benny and Judy.
Are you the ring bearer, Dawson?
No.
Oh.
Dawson's the bong bearer. He's the bearer of all bongs. So Benny Sesto and Judy Snow together for over 19 years. Benny plays the trumpet in three bands. Oh, I can hear my dad.
One of them is called the Brass Balls.
That's right. That's right.
He's one of the Brass Balls.
I am one of the Brass Balls.
He's one of the Brass Balls. Drew, you say that like people know the band.
From Jersey, yes.
Oh, okay. All right. And so you gig around. That's your full-time job?
That is my full-time job.
Wow. So you got to be good. Oh, give me a spit valve etiquette. I feel like people blow that spit valve out all over the carpet, all over the place.
You try not to do that carpet at home?
Mm-hmm.
Try not.
Do you use a mute to give that 30s kind of sexy sound, or do you use the plunger end?
You use both.
Use both.
Yes.
All right. This is hot trumpet talk.
Anyway, very romantic.
Valve oil, friend or foe, and what grade do you use? Let him answer honestly.
I use a Yamaha synthetic valve oil.
Non-synthetic valve oil?
A synthetic valve oil.
Yeah, synthetic. All right, yeah, three times rule. Well, yeah, don't... Use a non-detergent valve oil, you'll get screwed. All right, so you guys have... Judy, what... Do you have a profession?
Yeah.
What is your job?
I work from home as for a major insurance company.
You work from home. She works from home.
Insurance. I do customer service.
From home.
From home.
But you don't pretend you're at home when the phone rings. You go like...
No, I have to.
You have to answer the phone like the name of the insurance company, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Smart. Yeah, why outsource to India when we can go to New Jersey?
I speak English, yes.
Keep people at home. Yeah, people don't... I don't know. Why can't everyone do everything at home? Yeah. Next year we cruise from home.
Yeah.
We'll stream it.
No, listen, in L.A., we're going to have to.
Oh, yeah, the traffic's going to be bad. The homeless is going to be bad.
Yeah,
we won't. And not only can you not get anywhere in L.A., but then when you pull back to your house, you're like, oh, there's a bunch of homeless parts underneath my fenders. I wonder. All right, so, Drew, you know how to conduct yourself in this situation?
I heard I was being color for you. Would you like me to do more?
Let's leave race out of this, Drew.
Yeah, that's weird.
Don't know why you needed to go there.
Drew, this is a solemn occasion.
I understand.
I feel, you're a doctor, we're at sea, that kind of almost makes you a captain, you know? We're
okay,
so,
all right.
We're so close.
Not prepared for this, but I will step up. Is that okay with you guys?
Awesome.
So, whenever I've officiated, when I do officiate weddings, I always like to... You always hear these stories about people getting up to the altar and having these feelings that I shouldn't be here, and I wish I was running out the back door. And when I heard those stories, I had such a vividly different experience at my own wedding where I thought, like, this is exactly the spot where I belong, exactly where I want to be. So the way I'll ask that to each of you is, how are your feet? Are they cold or warm?
They are very warm.
Warm.
Extremely warm.
His feet are hot.
This is extremely good.
Hot. Yes. Okay, so you belong here in front of us all, God and everybody, to make a commitment. And I don't take this commitment lightly, right? I mean, obviously you waited 19 years to do this.
I won't ask why. But they didn't have sex during that year.
Oh, there you go.
This guy's balls are so blue.
Brass, Brian, brass. They don't get blue. They get copper color. They get sort of tarnished.
Yeah, after 19 years, what do you think happened?
So it's a serious commitment.
Very serious.
And you go ahead.
And I couldn't have asked for the most best wedding ever than being here.
Well,
and to have you officiate.
I wasn't expecting it, but I'm a privilege to do so. And I agree with you. This is a particularly warm, engaged, connected audience who's here pulling for you today. Yes, everybody. Yeah. You are witnessing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Benny, Judy, Benny,
you are witnessing a very important commitment here. This is not to be taken lightly. This is something that, we've diminished in our society a bit, but it's something that has great value. I don't care what the millennials say. It has great value, and it will bring rewards if you invest in it over time. And the longer you invest, the more the rewards shall come.
So, Drew, how long have you been married?
28 years.
28 wow. years, everybody.
28 years. And having the benefit of a happy marriage, I will tell you that just like... It's just like recovery from alcoholism, you know,
yeah.
one day at a time. So if you're happy today, that's all that counts, right? And just you'll put together many more todays going forward. But try to be them. May they all be as happy as today. Right, everybody? This is your polling for them. So let's proceed with the marriage. So, Benny. I don't have the formal material in front of me because I thought Adam was going to do that, but let me just improv it a little bit. Benny.
He doesn't do homework.
Do you... Adam doesn't do homework? Why are you holding that paper?
I'm holding the card up. I don't want you to spaz out on the name. I don't know.
I could spaz out.
Lenny, do you take Squiggy? Wait, where's the card? Oh, yeah. Benny.
Sorry. Stand-up weddings are good. So, do you take... In here, in front of all these witnesses and God here at the in the Caribbean Sea, do you take Judy to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
And Judy, in the presence of all these witnesses, God as you understand him, and the Caribbean Ocean, and the captain of this ship, and Adam Carolla, more importantly.
Yeah, don't qualify God. Just say God. Kick it old school.
Do you take Benny to be your lawfully wedded husband?
Most certainly do.
So, as an ordained minister, I now pronounce you husband and wife. You guys kissed today.
Yeah!
Congratulations!
Nice job, guys. That was fantastic. I put Drew on the spot. He came through.
Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
Beautiful.
Enjoy. I screwed up, though. I used a sexist gender term.
Now, when you...
I said God as you understand him.
Oh, yes. You should have said they.
Right.
So...
Exactly.
Now, here's a question. You get married on a cruise.
Yeah.
So... Where do you honeymoon? At a Craig and Auto Parts in New Jersey? Like, don't we have to go the other way?
Yeah.
You can't go on another cruise or have another good time.
Oh, honeymoon at the courthouse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, honeymoon at the courthouse.
I like that Gene is sobbing over this little wedding.
Oh, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
I'm so happy for them.
Hey, and don't make fun of Gina because she has feelings. That's my job. Yeah. You're a wreck, bitch.
Ha ha, you care.
you have a soul.
Such an asshole.
He removes.
All right, Gina, I'm going to do a live spot. You get your, get your news ready
you got
to
it.
Go for us. I'll hit casserole. Ah. You want a chance to win a trip to Vegas and meet me? You can head down to your local AutoZone and see these guys honeymooning over there. And enter automatically when you purchase Casserole. Pick up 5 quarts of Casserole Edge and get yourself a SCP Extended Life oil filter for just $33.99. And then you'll be entered automatically to hang out with me. Casserole Edge, 3 times stronger.
3 times
than the leading full synthetic. And 3-day, 2-night round trip to Vegas to meet me, Dawson.
No purchase necessary to enter to win. Open to the residents of the 50 United States, District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico. Must be 18 years or older. Sweepstakes valid September 24th through October 21st. Void where prohibited. See your local AutoZone store for more details.
All right, Dawson. He is awesome. All right, should we do a little news with Gina Grant?
Let's do it!
And Frank White.
It's the Gina Grant breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grant. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drug. See news with Gina Grant.
the news with Gina Grad.
Thank you very much. Well, I'm sorry I was writing during that. Something just came over the wire. This is breaking news, and I want to make sure we get to it first. We have details exclusive right now for the 2020 Adam Carolla Cruise. Yes! There's already a shirt for president, I imagine. This is going to be out of New Orleans. It's going to be on the Carnival Valor 4 days, December 10th. We're going back to Cozumel. And for more info, just go to CorollaFanCruise.com, and we can't wait to see all of you there. All right, let's get to the serious stuff. A Swiss man went missing over the weekend when he fell naked into a fountain at Disneyland Paris when he was under the influence of LSD. This is according to French media outlets. 32-year-old man was reported missing last week by his girlfriend, who told the police her boyfriend fell into Adventureland Lake and never resurfaced.
Drew, help me out with this.
Yeah.
I gotta believe in the annals of he died doing what he loved. This has gotta be right up there, you know what I mean?
At Disneyland. High on acid.
Yeah. Cardiac arrest when you're on a whore is up there, but this is even higher, I would say.
Depend who you are.
Okay. The notion...
It's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
This thing of, like, getting high on LSD or mushrooms or whatever it is...
Old school to me.
And then going to Disneyland or going to amusement park... The whole, I used to have friends who were doing that. Like, we're going to trip on acid, and then we're going down to, you know, Never Never Land. And I'd be like, no, the whole point is when you get high, the amusement park comes to you.
Well said. Everything becomes Disneyland.
The ceiling of your apartment becomes the Pirates of the Caribbean. Like,
that's Space Mountain.
That's why you get high.
Right.
You don't have to
leave
the apartment.
If you go to Disneyland, you don't need the acid.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Face. This guy's gilding the lily, and now he's in Davy Jones' locker. Oh.
Well, there is some good news. They did find him, but here's how they found him.
Uh-oh.
Follow-up story reported that a man was found, 44 years old. A driver was driving down the street in Paris and found a naked man walking along the side of the road. So somehow, he climbed out of Adventureland Lake, sobered up, maybe, maybe not, never found clothes, and was picked up by a drifter.
All right.
Hitchhiker.
Can I say this?
He's a boy.
I'm hearing a lot of
a real boy.
I'm hearing a lot of Drew. I'm hearing a lot of stories about fights that are breaking out at Disneyland, people getting high and throwing themselves in the moat, you know. Lots of people getting into lots of stuff. And when we were growing up, the news out of Disneyland was the Matterhorn's broken for 4 days or whatever it is. But it wasn't full Donnybrooks. It wasn't like full families throwing down
in Toontown
streets of Manhattan style or
gangs of New York.
Yes, gangs of New York. Sorry, I made a new movie
with you.
Up. My point is this: are we now so bad as a society that we can no longer use amusement parks? Like, is that where we're at? Is that's what we've gotten to? That amusement parks are rendered unusable because we've all turned into self-entitled douchebags who can't control our impulses?
Yes. Or...
That's what cruising's for.
Or,
right.
We've hit two extremes. One is we're riding around in carts at Disneyland.
Oh.
Rascal.
Yeah.
That's one version.
Right.
The other is I'm a self-entitled douche throwing people into the moat.
Well, maybe at some point we'll become so morbidly obese we won't be able to have fist fights at amusement parks.
That's a good thing.
Well, you're just going to put your rascal into ramming mode and go full Malachi Crunch now, right? Like, people are going to be having ramming wars. It'll be like, you know, the Rainbow Warrior hitting the Japanese whaling ship, you know, and you'll have water on yours and be spraying water cannons. Other morbidly obese guys will be ramming you with their rascal, and you'll be shorting it out with your water spout.
You know, the front of a Greek trireme.
Oh, look at Drew going deep, man.
Wow, that's a good call.
Yeah, you're going full gladiator there.
Full gladiator.
All right, so hopefully we'll become so morbidly obese, we'll never be able to get into another fight.
That's the goal.
Yeah, like guys are like, If I could get out of this rascal dude, I would be lactating all over your ass.
Crazy.
Hand me that sandwich. A pox on you. Now I'm getting another churro.
You make me hungry. I'm going to go back to the windjammer.
I've not seen a churro on this vessel. No. It may be the longest I've ever been without seeing a churro.
Especially at a water park.
Yeah.
You get churros everywhere.
I feel like that's a good sign.
It's not California.
Yeah. Everyone knows what a churro is?
I bet not. Okay. I bet not.
According to the Ohio congressman, it's a donut that's here illegally.
Yeah, it's a donut, yeah. If a donut wasn't gay, it's a straight donut.
It's kind of interesting. You would think Florida would have churros, but they really don't.
No.
Can I tell you the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life?
Please.
I took my son to the Los Angeles Zoo, which is like, the clientele at the Los Angeles Zoo, like, I'm going to get in with the bears where it's safe. You know what I mean? Like, I do feel like I'm going to hang out with the rhinos so I don't get my ass kicked by a gangbanger. But my son, they have a churro hut, and you can get 30 different flavors of churros. And he got the churro with the cream filling in it. Nothing brings pride to the heart of a father than watching his son chugging 11 inches of rock hard churro.
What are you talking about?
Got the white egg cream dripping down his face. He's chugging on this thing. Some point he wets his finger with it and rubs his nipple. Oh, so good, Dad.
Let's go see the flamingos after this.
Oh, no, you've seen enough flamingos. Oh, yeah, we put stuff inside. Like, we're like, hey, pizza makes you fat, but what if you put stuff in the crust? Then we'd be even fatter faster. We get to those scooter wars at Disneyland, and they're like, you know, churros will make you fat, but what if we stuffed them? They should stuff a pizza in a churro.
That's good thinking.
All right, go ahead, Gina.
Well, speaking of wildlife, dolphins have been filmed recently using a pufferfish to get high from its deadly poison. So a group of bottlenose dolphins are catching on to this trend, apparently, as footage shows the adolescent dolphins, always the teens, playfully swimming in the sea, tossing this fish between each other, chewing on its skin. Some swim up to the surface before throwing the pufferfish out of the water as they have to start it up, like in a particular way, to get the poison flowing. Pufferfish contain a neurotoxin that can be fatal if ingested by humans. Experts said dolphins may feel lightheaded. It's very much like THC. But it does have the power to kill animals if they take too much. Experts are not sure how long this trend has been going. And please let me remind you for the millionth time, dolphins rape people.
That's right.
Well, I mean, it's underreported because who wants to admit it?
Hold on, Gina. Clearly, and I know Adam didn't see this because he carefully avoids anything I'm involved with. But anybody see the drunk history I did on the dolphins on LSD?
Yes.
Right? So the U.S. government had research on dolphins giving them LSD to try to figure out how to communicate with them. A bunch of idiots who also were on LSD decided it was a great idea. And because the dolphins kept trying to sexually assault the female researchers, she had to start every session by masturbating the dolphin.
She had to masturbate the dolphin?
That's a Mike Rowe job.
And, Shiri Appleby plays the researcher in the drunk history. I recommend Duncan Trussell is the. I'm just doing it with Duncan Trussell.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
Everybody, like my theory, you got your work cut out for you with all the rehab business because I feel like everyone who can put a couple of thoughts together wants to be altered. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, mammals.
I don't feel like lizards want to be altered.
Mammals
would like to be altered. And you see these, like, pigs that get hold of these fermented peaches on the ground and then eat them and then catch a buzz off of that. We got dolphins.
Cats and catnip.
Catnip, right. Catnip and cats. So
in lieu of the fact that the entire planet wants to get altered. Now, it can be like, oh, you get a runner's high or something, or there's a kind of a version where we need our cup of coffee in the morning or whatever.
No,
but
no,
we're in a constant pursuit of alteration.
Right, and euphoria. So two different kinds of things. But yeah, that's a mammalian tendency. And if we also then have a gene that makes us, you know, compulsively go that way and then lose control over that, that's where I come in.
Right.
Different.
Right, right. So everyone here's pursuing alterations.
Oh, yes.
Well, they just were at your altar, so I'll point to them. But no, you have your drinks, but going on a cruise is being altered. Like, oh, this is amazing, and this is what's going on. We're going to eat a bunch of shrimp.
We get into the background very easily. Almost anything becomes background to us.
Right.
If we were here for months, all of a sudden this would be background.
Right.
You know, things we always have to look for novelty in our brain.
Right. And that's how, like, when I met Drew, and he was telling me about some of his patients having 80, 90 Vicodin a day habit.
Yeah.
And it sounds insane. How could you handle 90 Vicodin a day? Because you normalize constantly, right?
It's a little different, but yes, that's part of the whole process of us, of tolerance of things.
Right. All right. Yeah. Sorry, Gina. What else?
Well, everybody, you know, the next cruise, if we could figure out a way to make it out of Colorado, we probably should, because Fort Collins, Colorado has decided it's not worth the money to fight for its ordinance banning women from appearing topless in public. It's a victory for the global movement called Free the Nipple. The ruling rejected the city's concern that striking down the ordinance would lead to women, quote, parading in front of elementary schools topless. The nearby communities of Boulder and Denver allow female toplessness, but there was no evidence of any harmful fallout, of course, from any of this. Fort Collins decided this month not to appeal the decision. They've spent $300,000 fighting this, and now the city has formally removed the public nudity law.
This whole nudity thing's not what it's cracked up to be. As far as I can tell, none of the hot chicks really want to get nude. It's all the floppy middle-agers who are out there trying to prove something to their third husband, and they're angry at their stepdad who molested them, and then they're up there with their stretch marks and their huge areolas, and they're out there flopping around. I don't need any of that. Gina Grad, on the other hand.
Hold on.
That's a felony, though. You unleash those bad boys.
They should be registered in Colorado.
Live show.
That's right.
Like your fists.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know, guys, we don't feel that strongly about it. Like, oh, man, my balls haven't seen daylight in a fortnight, man. I feel so confined.
You'd be so much more attractive, Adam, if we could just see your nuts.
Yeah, I know.
You really would.
Oh, man, you should see
I'm always
it. I got a gray pube now, man. You'd love it, Drew.
He's so muscular, so pendulous.
I always love it, too, when... with a little asymmetry, but the thing I my nutsacks, like my balls are racing each other to the grave. Yeah. That's basically what they're doing. Like,
one's ahead though.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Of course.
For now.
Yeah, for now. But the other one's trying to get to the grave first. You guys know that my grandmother used to try to get me to go to a nudist colony. Remember they had nudist camps?
It's a story I have not heard. Was that after she announced at the table she was wondering what a rim job was? Or did everyone know what a rim job was? Remember that?
My grandmother said three or four very difficult things to me. She's asked me if anyone at the table knew what a rim job was. That was one thing. And now people go like, how would that work? Like, how would your grandmother ask what a rim job was at the table?
Yeah.
She worked at the Veterans Administration in Westwood. She worked in, like, a sex encounter group for veterans. Had, a couple of gay veterans. They were waxing poetic about their taint. And my grandmother hadn't heard of a rim job.
She just wanted to share it with
But she didn't want to be the uptight old chick. Yeah. So she was like, oh, yeah, no, yeah, I feel ya. And then she got home, and she's like, does anyone know what this is? So that was awesome. There's a weird one when I was walking around in shorts when I was, 15, and she just went, you've got hair on your legs. And I said, yep. And she went, that means you can have babies.
Okay.
Right. But I need someone to have sex with me as well. Right now, my hamper's pregnant. Then there's...
Oh, my God, it's exciting.
Then there was her with the water-soluble lube that I know people have heard, but it bears repeating. When my grandfather died, my grandmother was distraught, and we walked around the house, and she's like, everything reminds me of Lotsy, of Laszlo. She's like, everything. Then, look, his typewriter. He opened the closet, his overcoat's in there. I opened the medicine cabinet. I see the water-soluble lube. The guy's barely in the grave, and we gotta talk about lube? Old people sex lube? So my grandmother wanted me to go, I don't know, she just wanted to bust my chops. There was this place in Topanga Canyon called Elysium. Oh. It was a nudist camp in Topanga, and she had like elderly friends who went there, and she'd be like, Edna and Bob Stevenson are going to Elysium this Saturday. You should go with them.
Oh, my God.
Like, so I can see old new dudes play volleyball. Like, dig it out. Come on. You set it up. I was like, and also, it's like, as I always said, are shorts so confining that you can't participate in sports? Like, you think you put a pair of shorts on LeBron James? He's like, I can't get up and down the court.
Now what?
I could roll the ball toward the hoop, but I can't get it. I feel like guys do a lot of stuff in shorts. They're fine. They're not confining.
But it's more the BS of the 70s, where literally it was like, you need to take these children and expose them to the natural beauty of the human body. Remember this crowd?
Oh, we had. Yeah. There was nudist couples.
Yeah, but they bring the kids in. And then in the 90s, really, people started going, I think these kids are traumatized. We're seeing Eugene.
Oh, there we had like nudist adult couple. You go to their house, they're just walking around naked. I don't, again, like, what, sweatpants and flip-flops, too confining for you? Like, you got to get from the entry hall to the kitchen. I can't do it in these sweatpants. Only if my balls feel the taste of the wind can I. Jesus Christ. I know. Sure. My grandmother used to sunbathe naked in the backyard all the time, too.
That's
God.
A lot to see.
Do you remember the dream you told me? We moved in together about 6 months, and you came in the air one night and announced this dream about being in the pool.
Yeah.
And you did you know what you were telling me when you said
no, you know what? First off, what about the doctor-patient confidentiality agreement?
It was on the radio.
I'm just going to grab a microphone and read your medical charts to the world. To the world.
Drew's a radio doctor.
We did it on the... You discussed it on the air.
Yeah, but still.
You're going full Robin Quivers on me.
What was the story? I'm sorry.
That you were in the deep end of a pool. He just goes, what do you think this is? He goes, I'm in the deep end of a pool. And, you know, within 6 months, I'd heard one or two stories about Mom and Grandma. Mm-hmm. And you always described them as, your mom, at least, as haunchy.
Yeah, haunchy.
Haunchy. Mm-hmm. And so he goes, I'm in the end of the pool, I'm trying to get out, and these two haunchy women...
I will... Drew's losing it, for those at home. I will tell you this, my mom...
Is there a doctor in the house?
My mom had birthing hips, but I would have preferred a parenting brain. That would have been a much nicer thing for me. But yes, haunchy.
Haunchy women had your testicles in their hand and were beating you over the head with them and you couldn't get out of the pool.
I feel like there's some sort of hidden message.
It might be.
I don't know what it is.
That's a little subconscious. I don't think you have to be Freud to figure it out, but yeah. Fellini maybe, but not Freud.
Well, thank God I'm past all of that. Sorry, Gina, you were doing the news?
Sure. A 30-year-old Spirit Airlines passenger on a flight from Detroit to New Orleans recently got banned for life for vaping in the bathroom. An attendant on the flight apparently told a deputy that she saw him take a drag of an e-cigarette and exhale into a bag.
Who
said that? A flight attendant.
Oh, she saw them.
She saw him inhale it and blow it into a bag. That's when she got super pissed at him, told him to stop, and then he got up and went to the bathroom, according to the report with the police. While he was in the bathroom, the smoke detector went off. When a deputy met the plane at New Orleans International, the unidentified passenger denied smoking in the bathroom. He then told a deputy he didn't know smoking was prohibited. The passenger was not arrested, but he may never fly with Spirit Airlines
again.
There
should be no rules. I don't know. You're flying Salt Lake to Phoenix. Let's have some rules. You're going Detroit to New Orleans. No rules on that flight. It's on. It's on. That's a fucking cage match in the air. You got to know what you signed up for. These are people that either live in New Orleans or live in Detroit. It's one or the other. Yeah.
The flight attendant should come up to the man and say, "Sir, I noticed you're not vaping."
Yes, yeah, right. Perhaps you're missing your vape bag. Yeah, I mean, come on. You know what you signed up for when you get on that flight. It's a lawless flight.
That's
man.
Right.
They don't Full make of
it,
rebels.
They don't make it at all clear, though, that you shouldn't smoke in the bathroom or mess with, adulterate, otherwise
tamper with. Disabling or destroying. Jesus goddamn Christ. I don't know, Drew, how many flights have you been on in your life?
500. Easy.
All right, so if we took all the time, and I mean, I've been on, 11 flights in the last 15 days. Like, I'm doing a lot of flying. So the notion, if you took the time where they go, this is a smokeless flight, 100% smokeless flight, smoking is prohibited on this flight. If you then took the time where they go, tampering with, disabling, or destroying the lavatory smoke detector is a crime under federal law, blah, 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 blah. If you just took all those times and added them together, off all the flights we've taken, I could get 2 weeks of my fucking life back.
Yep.
You had me at no smoking. You said no smoking. That's pretty clear.
And also, in terms of screwing with the smoke detector,
right.
Tampering pretty much covers it, doesn't
tampering
it?
Tampering covers everything. Disabling and destroying is covered by tampering. And tampering is... Even if Uri Geller went in there and wanted to use telepathy to tamper or disable or destroy, it would all be covered by tamper. We're done. I want to stand up every time when they go, this is a non-smoking flight, no smoking in the bathroom, our smoke detectors are there, tampering. I want to stand up and yell, zip it, cunt, in the middle of the fucking thing. Just, that's enough. That's enough. We don't need disabling or destroying. We don't need it. And it used to be one airline, and now it's nationwide. It's
you
everywhere.
Must talk to your friend Mark Garrett.
Oh, the By goddamn way, lawyers. Wait, Thank wait, wait. The lawyers.
His birthday today.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Oh,
that's right.
Happy birthday, Mark. All right, well, dad joke is one of the new 530 words added to the Merriam-Webster dictionary. A couple of the other ones are free solo, like the movie that Brian was super into.
It's really good. Won the Oscar.
Fabulosity.
What's dad solo?
Free solo.
No, free solo.
Oh, sorry, what's dad
joke. Like, it's a bad joke. It's a dad joke.
Corny jokes.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, that's in there. Escape room. Apparently, there's one on this ship. And tall boy, vacay, and sesh. Having a little chat sesh, like a session. Those are official words in the Merriam-Webster dictionary.
Why do we have to keep adding stuff? Now, listen. I am a hero. I'm in the Urban Dictionary.
That's right. Multiple times.
I've got Behymen in there. I've got Waffle Crapper.
Oh,
that's in there as well.
Spunk Shui.
I got Spunk Shui.
Wait a minute, does everybody know the story? Do you know the Waffle Crapper story?
She's super hot.
I take no pride in the Waffle Crapper.
That was a good one.
We were doing Loveline, I don't know, a million years ago?
Million.
And I said, this chick's so hot, if she crapped on a waffle, you'd eat it. And if you were German, you'd pay her to eat it. And... So we decided a hot chick...
be a waffle crapper.
Right. A hot chick was a waffle crapper. Yes. Spunk Shui was a way to set up your room, fellas, so the wife wouldn't catch you, whacking it in front of the computer. It's the wisdom of the Orient brought to Van Nuys, basically. You know how Spunk Shui came about?
No. Didn't have a level of two?
Yeah, Bill Simmons said, Ace Man! I'm going to set up my office in my back room. I've got a pool room. I'm going to set my office. Yeah, go Tom Brady. Go Pat. So he was like, Ace Man, And I'm the guy, you know, I'm the carpenter guy, so people would call me over to their house, and he's like, I'm going to set this whole thing up. And he had this thing where it's like he had this pool house in the back, and his main house was like had the French doors and the steps down, and that was where the kitchen was and everything. And he was like, Ace, I want to take this wall, I want to fill it full of monitors, I put my computer here, and then I fake, and that, I was like, Bill, don't do it. Don't do it. And he's like, why not? And I mean, why not, Ace Man? And I said, because your fucking wife's going to come out of the kitchen at night, you're going to have a monitor full of, you know, you porn, and she's going to tap you on the shoulder before you even know. I said, you got to take the desk and the monitor, face it that way, have the computer. She'll be looking at the back of your computer screen. You'll see her coming out at night, coming down, bringing you some iced tea. My hero's been burning the candle, and what the fuck? So I said, it's bad spunk shui to put the monitors behind. You never turn your back on an opening. Because you don't want her to have your six or your dicks. That's a SEAL, that's SEAL team talk. You got my six, room?
I got it.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, come on.
That's fucking 12 o'clock.
He's
Who's got my six?
Got it. Got
you spunk shui it this way. Your wife's got your six and your dick.
Got it.
Okay. There's other entries, but they escape me right now.
Black simile.
Oh, black simile.
Oh, sure.
That's
yes.
The black guys that you mistake, like Sam Rubin did with...
Samuel L. Jackson and Lawrence Fishburne.
Right, right. So whenever you screw up a black guy, that's black simile. Makes sense?
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Did you define the Bahaiman for the crowd?
Well, mine's still intact. That much I... That's the stuff men have that, Drew, your behindman's intact, right?
Oh, yeah.
Brian, how's your behindman hanging?
So far, so well, after the water slides.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
We're going to check, Drew, what are you up to after the show?
That's why you got to ride side saddle, bitch.
That water slide had my six.
But I think the behindman, you... Halfmo came along about the same time as the Bahaiman.
Oh, Halfmo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We decided that Homo was gay, and if you're bi, you should be Halfmo. Thank you, Drew.
It's only logical.
But I think I was right when I said guys that are bi aren't really bi. They're just saying bi to heterosexuality and hello to gay, right?
Right. And so when somebody would call in and say they have various fluidity, you just go, okay, you're half-mo.
Half-mo. Half-mo. That's right. All right. I forgot about that. That's right. Yeah. I'd say, we used to say, buys gay with a publicist. But sorry. Go ahead. Where were we, Gina?
Well, Gina, you never get through the news.
It's okay. Sorry. Come on. So, Dr. Drew, I'm glad you're here because you might be able to help us with this. Apparently, a new survey says we are going into a global sex recession.
Yeah.
CBS News story, this story appears to be pegged out of Japan.
Oh,
the
Japan's
National Fertility Survey.
Yeah. They're having to encourage people to have kids.
That's right.
And they're going to have sex robots, too.
It's over.
It's over.
It's
upon us. We're going to replace women with sex robots. You guys don't get how we're wired. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good. And that decision of like, oh, I'm not your maid, and I'm not your chef, and I'm not the kid chauffeur. That seemed like a good idea a few years ago. Once the sex robots come in, done and done. Japan is going to be the tip of the penis when that sex robot thing comes around.
Yeah, apparently 1 in 10 men in their 30s have never had sex before, which very high number.
Not here, Japan.
Experts blame
in Japan,
the experts blame the rising virginity rates on everything from national financial instability because, you know, we don't want no scrub.
Right.
And an onslaught of apps and dolls and things that you don't need the ladies for.
But also here, watching my kids' peers, millennial stuff, the young males are scared shitless. they don't want to be seen as, you know, inappropriate or whatever,
So
they're afraid to even put themselves out there at all.
Yeah, it's a tough time for them.
Yeah, and not only it's all the Me Too shit, but everything can just be filmed and shot and thrown up on YouTube and Twitter.
Right. So they're scared.
And let's not forget all the fucking kids that are saying we only have 11 years to live, so why would you have sex?
Right. We got to eat babies.
If any of those kids are listening, please pull out. I don't want you procreating. I don't need another generation of snot-nosed complainers fucking ruining my life.
But what I've noticed is still there is always one Chris-type male hanging around.
Oh, my buddy Chris, yeah.
You know what I mean? That guy still...
He'll pick up the pieces.
He's cleaning up. It's a good time to be Chris.
There's always a guy who's horny enough for everyone in the room. Dr. Drew is...
man, a great passion.
He'd be the cherry on top of this horny sundae because he is a passionate, passionate man. People should know that. But yeah, in Japan, it's all going to be robots, sex robots. Then you'll be able to get sex robots from vending machines because Japan... puts everything in a vending machine, and I don't know why, but we love it. They're like, everyone's like, you know, you can get a beer in a vending machine. And it's like, yeah, we have liquor stores, do we not? Like, I have a refrigerator. I like where their head's at, but I don't know.
Well, they say you can get
women's panties.
Yes, dirty underwear from a vending machine.
Yeah.
Can you just say used instead of dirty?
Yeah, no, we prefer soiled.
Bespeckled.
Oh, sorry, spent. Spent. Bespeckled or spent is a proper terminology, yes.
That's right.
So there's going to be no more Japanese in a few years.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. That's the headline.
I don't know if I want to live in that world.
I don't.
Yeah.
Innovators, delicious food.
Yeah.
You know that I majored in Japanese performance art.
You did not.
I sure did. Kyogen, which is the comedy version, and No, which is the serious version, because Kabuki was too mainstream for this gal.
Oh, really?
I can sing in Japanese.
You can what?
I can sing in Japanese.
Well, let's do that song.
This is a song from a classical Japanese play, probably from the 12th century, and I haven't sang it in about 20 years, and let's all see what happens. Mm-hmm. I think it's about a bunny.
Oh, and by the way, if you know it, kill yourself. because that would make you a huge loser. Or sing along. I'm going to make you jerk.
The staff starts to sing along.
All right.
Jesus Christ, I didn't know they went for that communist shit over there in the heartland. I am disappointed. Who paid for your college? Because if I were your dad, I'd be pissed. Like, wow.
I mean, it's perfect that it was Japanese because my parents are so filled with shame.
Yes.
That was a tool to it.
All right, let's do one more, Gina Grant.
You got it. Well, some of us after this cruise might be hurting for cash, so I'm going to give you a tip on a job that you might want. The Australian wing of Domino's Pizza posted a job opening, $20 an hour position for chief garlic bread tester. Domino's posted the job opening on LinkedIn, seeking a chief garlic bread taster to spend one day making $20 an hour to giving feedback on garlic bread. They're trying different things for the menu. The posting says the ideal candidate has a minimum of 5 years experience.
Hold on. Does anyone need to test garlic bread? I have never had a bad piece of garlic bread in my entire life because it's got the word garlic and bread in it.
Even if it's stale, it's still palatable.
It's always good. Yeah. It's slathered with butter and garlic. It's full of chewy goodness. Drew would explode if he had garlic bread,
yes,
right?
With garlic, yeah.
You're not allowed to have garlic, right?
Not allowed.
What would happen if you had garlic?
Gaseous distension.
Gaseous distension.
And maybe Muhammad
he changed his name to Muhammad Ali. This is why we got the big bucks back in the day. We'd set them up and mow them down, man. Gaseous distension. So, but then...
And gaseous, I would stay. Gaseous stay, they called me.
Right, but at some point, gaseous stay. All right. Yeah, I know the two. So, and but eventually, someone would be paying the price in the cabin, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Not
all right, so no gas, no onion, no garlic.
Yeah, not good for me.
Oh,
no, I mean, I've gotten control over some of that through... You can change your gut flora, it turns out. We're learning more about that, but still not good.
You can do it like they talk about, like all the idiots who think their kids are allergic to peanuts. Now they realize you introduce little peanuts, a little bit of peanut.
You can change the bacterial flora in your colon. Mm-hmm. You can do it with bulk agents.
How do you do that?
Me, I've done it with, why am I blanking on it? What do they call when you, the bacteria probiotics and bulk, unabsorbable bulk. Helps
mm-hmm.
me.
Ooh.
Unabsorbable bulk.
So, all right, so you do that every day?
Yeah.
And the probiotics, like yogurt or something?
I'd say that's in yogurt, but I just take a couple pills.
Okay, yeah. All right.
And it makes all that less powerful.
Good
right,
move.
All right. Well,
my right hook's not so
But you can't have garlic bread, right?
I dare not.
How are you with a crouton?
Not so bad these days.
Okay.
But it's been, at times in my life, even that has been troublesome.
Good. All right.
So basically, if you want in on this, they want applicants to submit 200-word essays or 30-second videos explaining why they would be the best garlic bread taster on the planet.
I don't know. I don't want to. I'm half Italian. I feel like I want an Italian in this job.
Yeah.
I know
yes.
I rail against this, you know, and I don't like a segment in our society, and I don't like. Oh, the fire department has to represent the community it serves. I don't like any of that bullshit. But I want a paisan tasting that garlic bread. That's a job for a paisan. You know what I mean?
It's in your genes.
And we don't really have any jobs anymore, Italian guys, you know? We used to be prize fighters. We used to sculpt. You know what I mean? We were sculptors and prize fighters.
Predominantly.
Yeah, we did a lot of stuff, Italians. Italians don't really have jobs anymore. Like, what's an Italian job? You know what I mean?
A car heist.
A movie.
A great movie the from hell of 20 a movie. Years ago.
Right.
Isn't that what your son was doing with the churro?
Oh, true.
He shoots his score.
True with the closer.
Touche and so gay. All right, let me hit Simply Safe over here. Am I right, Maxipata? Simply Safe, 83% of burglars look for an alarm. Yeah, no S, Sherlock. Only 1 in 5 homes have security because most companies don't make it easy. It's expensive, there's drilling, there's wires, there's a hassle. Simply Safe, protect your whole home for just $15 a month. Get 24/7 monitoring at a fraction of the cost. It's easy, you peel and stick. They got the 3M tape. The batteries last up to 10 years of little, like, hearing aid-sized batteries on there. You don't have to drill holes and pull wires or crawl in the underpinning or crawl around in the attic up there. Often cops assume a false alarm, but not with Simply Safe because they have the video verification technology that confirms the break-in is happening. And just for my listeners, for you folks out here on this cruise, they got a huge deal going on right now. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam and you get the free HD camera when you order. It's $100 value at Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Make sure you take advantage of Simply Safe's video verification technology. You'll have eyes on home 24/7 and video evidence if someone tries to get in. Get your free HD security camera now at simplysafe.com/Adam. That's simplysafe.com/Adam.
All right, I want to thank Dawson. For hitting it out of the ballpark. Dr. Drew over here, everybody. What a job. Good job, Becco.
Thank
that
you.
Was good, and congratulations.
Yeah.
Congrats to the happy couple.
To the newlyweds.
So, until next time, it's Adam Crowe for Dr. Drew, Gina Grant, and Paul Bryan saying, Mahalo!
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Get tickets and info on everything at AdamCarolla.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.